Where did you just come from?
I followed them in my dad's truck after they passed my house. I pulled in 15 minutes ago and got swarmed by the ones that were already here, so I left, then parked in a field a mile away and walked through the woods.
The second set of lights we had seen from the window of the school came from Sam's truck. I opened my mouth to respond, but a clap of thunder shakes the sky. Another storm begins to brew, and relief courses through me that Six is still alive. A bolt of lightning cuts the sky, and clouds begin rushing in from all directions, being pulled together into one giant mass. An even greater darkness falls, followed by a rain so heavy that I have to squint to see Sam 5 feet away from me. The school is blotted out. But then, a great bolt of lightning strikes and everything brightens for a split second, and I see that the beast has been hit. An agonizing roar follows.
I have to get to the school, I yell. Mark and Sarah are somewhere inside.
If you're going, then I'm going, he yells back over the rumble of the storm.
We take no more than 5 steps before the wind comes howling, pushing us back, torrential rain stinging our faces. We're soaked, shivering and cold. But if I'm shivering, then I know I'm alive. Sam drops to a knee, then lies on his stomach to keep from being blown backwards. I do the same. Through squinted eyes, I look into the clouds, heavy, dark, ominous, swirling in small concentric circles, and in the center I'm trying mightily to reach, a face begins to form. It's an old, weathered face, bearded, tranquil-looking, as though it sleeps, a face that looks older than Earth itself. The clouds begin to lower, slowly nearing the surface and consuming everything, everything darkening, a dark so deep and impenetrable that it's hard to imagine that somewhere, anywhere, a sun still exists. Another roar, a roar of anger and doom. I try to stand, but am quickly knocked back down, the wind too great. The face. It's coming alive. An awakening. The eyes opening, the face upturned into a grimace. Is this Six's creation? The face becomes the look of rage itself, a look of revenge, coming down fast. Everything seems to hang in the balance, and then the mouth opens, hungry, its lips curling to show teeth, and its eyes squinted in what can only be described as pure malice, a complete and utter wrath. And then the face touches down, and a sonic blast shakes the ground, an explosion reaching out over the school, everything illuminated in red, orange, and yellow. I'm thrust backwards, trees break in half, the ground rumbles, I land with a thud. Branches and mud falling atop me. My ears ring as they've never rung before. A boom so loud that it must have been heard 50 miles away. And then the rain stops and everything falls silent. I lie in the mud, listening to the beat of my heart. The clouds clear away, revealing a hanging moon. Not a single gust of wind. I look around, but don't see Sam. I yell for him, but get no response. I yearn to hear something. Anything. Another roar? Henri's shotgun? But there is nothing. I pull myself up off the forest floor, wipe away the mud and the twigs as best as I can. I exit the woods for the second time. The stars have reappeared. A million of them twinkling high in the night sky. Is it over? Have we won? Or is it just a lull in the action? The school, I think. I have to get to the school. I take 1 step forward, and that's when I hear it. Another roar coming from within the woods behind me. Sound returns. 3 successive gunshots ring through the night, echoing so that I have no idea from which direction they have come. I hope with everything inside of me that they are from Henri's shotgun, that he is still alive, still fighting. The ground begins to shake. The beast is on the run, coming for me. No mistaking it now. Trees broken and uprooted behind me. They don't seem to slow it down at all. Is this one even bigger than the other? I don't care to find out. I take off running for the school, but then realize that's the absolute worst place I can go. Sarah and Mark are still there, still hiding, or at least I hope they are. Everything returns to the way it was before the storm. The shadows following, looming, scouts, soldiers. I veer to the right and sprint along the tree-lined path that leads to the football field, the beast hot on my trail. Can I really expect to outrun it? If I can make it to the woods beyond the field, maybe I can. I know those woods, the woods that lead to our house. Within them, I'll have the home field advantage. I look around and see the figures of the Mogadorians in the schoolyard. There are too many of them. We're greatly outnumbered. Did we ever really believe we could win? A dagger flies by me, a flash of red missing my face by mere inches. It sticks into the trunk of a tree beside me, and the tree ignites in flame. Another roar! The beast is keeping pace. Which of us has the greater endurance? I enter the stadium, sprint straight across the 50-yard line, and pass through the visiting team's side. Another knife whizzes by, a blue one this time. The woods are near, and when I finally sprint into them, a smile forms on my face. I've led it away from the others. If everyone else is safe, then I've done my job. Just when a sense of triumph blooms within me, the third dagger strikes. I cry out, fall face first into the mud. I can feel the dagger between my shoulder blades, a pain so sharp that it paralyzes me. I try to reach to pull it free, but it is up too high. It feels as though it's moving, digging itself deeper, the pain spreading as if I've been poisoned. On my stomach, in agony. I can't pull it free with telekinesis. My power is somehow failing me. I begin dragging myself forward. One of the soldiers, or maybe it's a scout, I can't tell which, places a foot on my back, reaches down, and pulls the knife free. I grunt. The knife is gone, but the pain stays. It takes its foot off of me, but I can still feel its presence. And I wrestle myself onto my back to face it. Another soldier, standing tall and smiling with hatred. The same look as the one before, the same type of sword. The dagger that was in my back twists in its grip. That is what I felt, the blade turning while embedded in my flesh. I lift a hand towards the soldier to move it, but I know it's in vain. I can't focus, everything blurry. The soldier raises its sword in the air. The blade tastes death. Starts glowing in the night sky behind it. I'm gone, I think. Nothing I can do. I look into its eyes. 10 years on the run, and this is how easily it ends. How quietly. But behind it lurks something else. Something far more menacing than a million soldiers with a million swords. Teeth every bit as long as the soldier is tall. Teeth glowing white, and a mouth too small to hold them. The beast with its evil eyes hovering over us. A sharp intake of breath catches in my throat, and my eyes open wide in terror. It'll take us both out, I think. The soldier's oblivious. It tenses and grimaces at me, and starts to bring the sword down to split me in two. But it is too slow, and the beast strikes first, its jaws clamping down like a bear trap. The bite doesn't stop until the beast's teeth come together. The soldier's body cut cleanly in half, just below the hips, leaving nothing behind but two stumps still standing. The beast chews twice and swallows. The soldier's legs fall hollowly to the ground, one dropping to the right, the other to the left, and quickly disintegrate. It takes every ounce of strength I have to reach out and grab the dagger that has fallen at my feet. I tuck it into the waistband of my jeans and begin crawling away. I feel the beast hovering over me, feel its breath upon the nape.